Grace and peace be multiplied unto you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Amen. Today's text comes from the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, beginning with the first verse as follows. Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect one in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law. Here ends our text. In the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who was anointed by God to bring the good news of salvation to poor sinners, dear fellow redeemed. Do you know someone who's just right for their job? Perhaps you're thinking of an acquaintance of yours that whose career just fits his personality perfectly. 4 years ago this week, our country mourned the passing of a former president, President Gerald Ford. In summing up his life, no one said about him that he was the most gifted of American presidents, that he brought the most scintillating oratory or the most brilliant intellect to the office. What they did say about him was that he was the right man for the job. He supplied the character traits that our country needed most at the time: solidity, faithfulness, reliability, normalcy. Gerald Ford had no baggage, no particular demons, no agenda to fulfill other than getting the country through a particularly rough time in our history. And in that respect, the man and the mission were well matched. You know, that's important. Every manager in every business understands how important it is to match the right person for the job. And God the Father knows that too. That's why he chose his son, Jesus Christ, to fulfill a certain mission here on this earth, the mission of rescuing people from hell. What's really tragic is that there are so many people in our world of today who are convinced that Jesus isn't the right one for them, or even worse, that they're not the right one for Jesus. But that's not true. As our text for today makes clear, Jesus is perfect for his job, the job of bringing salvation to sinners. That's why our theme for today is Jesus Christ, the right man for the job. He has the right qualifications, he has the right attitude, and he gets the right results. We find ourselves today entering the season of the church year that's known as Epiphany. And Epiphany literally means appearance or manifestation. Beginning with his baptism by John in the Jordan River, Jesus was making his official appearance to the people as the Son of God, the Savior of the world, the promised Messiah who was to come. Well, this was the starting point of his public ministry, and he had a big job to do, the job of bringing salvation to mankind. Back then, there were a lot of people who doubted seriously that this humble carpenter's son from the town of Nazareth could possibly be that promised Messiah. They certainly would not have viewed Jesus as the right man for the job. In our world of today, the majority of people still do not believe that Jesus is who he says he is in the pages of Scripture, the only hope of mankind. What do you think? Is Jesus up to the job of being your personal Savior? Are you willing to put your entire future, the fate of your eternal soul, your hope of life after death, into the hands of Jesus of Nazareth? In our text for today, the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah, describes Jesus' qualities. And if you read that text carefully, it should leave little doubt in your mind that Jesus Christ truly is the perfect person for this job. In the first place, Jesus has the right qualifications to be your Savior. Foremost among those qualifications is the fact that he is the hand-picked choice of Almighty God to do the job. In our text, the Lord introduces his son with the words, Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. Now the plain fact is, God didn't choose Muhammad to be your Savior. And he didn't choose Buddha. And he didn't choose the Virgin Mary. He most certainly did not choose you to save yourself. He chose his son, Jesus, and no one else was even in the running. Peter said, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Jesus is further qualified for his office by the power that God gave him, nothing less than the power of God's Holy Spirit. God said, "I have put my Spirit upon him," and that's the symbolism that's depicted on the cover of your bulletin for this morning. In our gospel lesson, we heard how the Holy Spirit, in the form of a dove, came down on Jesus and rested upon him. Jesus used that power of the Holy Spirit to win the hearts of sinners throughout his earthly ministry. Just as convincing is the fact that this power is still at work on earth in this day and age. It's working faith in your heart right now as you listen to me speak these words to you. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, no one can be saved. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ contains that powerful word. The right man for the job, however, should have more than just good qualifications. Needs to have the right attitude as well, really, doesn't he? That's very important in the business world. Watched a TV comedy a while back about an executive who was interviewing for a rather lowly job in the mailroom of a large company. And one of the interview questions was, "What do you want to be in our company? What do you aspire to be?" And a little flustered, the interviewee replied, "Well, I simply want to do the best job I can in handling the company's mail." And that person was not hired. The interviewer said, "No, our candidate should want to be vice president at least." She wasn't aggressive enough, evidently. Being bold and aggressive might describe a good applicant for a job on Wall Street, but it's not a very good description for our Savior. "He will not cry out, nor raise his voice," says Isaiah, "nor cause his voice to be heard in the street." The job Jesus came to earth to do was very different, and it required a different kind of attitude. You see, we don't need a proud and demanding Messiah to overwhelm us with his demands and remind us that we're wretched sinners. We have God's law to do that, and it does a very good job. The law accuses each of us when it says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And if any of you are tempted to think that the sins you commit every day really aren't very serious, you'd best think again. God says, "Whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all." We know that we're sinners, and we know what the penalty of sin is: eternal death. What we need is a way out. Jesus came to be the way out. Jesus comes to us. He manifests himself to us, especially in Epiphany, not with an attitude of terror, but of meekness. Not with judgment, but with mercy. From his lowly birth in a stable in Bethlehem to his shameful death on the cross, Jesus adopted an attitude of humility. An attitude not of a master, but of a servant. See the Savior of mankind healing the sick and preaching the gospel to the poor. See the Almighty King of the universe preaching forgiveness to tax collectors and sinners. See Almighty God riding into Jerusalem, not on a proud charger, but sitting on a humble donkey. See the Messiah washing the feet of his disciples. See Almighty God condemned to death and nailed to a cross as if he were some kind of disgusting criminal. Yes, Jesus knew what kind of attitude he needed to be your Savior, and he adopted it willingly. Paul says, "Jesus Christ, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Yes, Jesus comes to us with just the right attitude. He's not remote and exalted. He's down to earth and approachable, intentionally so. He brings mercy for our weaknesses and forgiveness for our shortcomings. Is your faith weak? Don't all of us feel that our faith is weak at times and we feel so frail and our spirituality is so brittle? You don't have to be afraid. Our text says, a bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. Even if your faith is just a flickering glimmer, like the last flicker of a candle that's almost ready to go out, Jesus will not snuff it out. Even the slightest glow of faith can save you. For salvation doesn't depend on your strength. It depends on the strength of the one in whom you believe. Jesus Christ is very strong indeed. And that's really the bottom line, isn't it? Jesus has the right qualifications to be Savior, and he also has the right attitude towards sinners. But what really makes him the right man for the job is he gets the right results. In our text, Isaiah makes this prediction about the Christ. He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail nor be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastland shall wait for his law. What does that all mean? Simply this, that Jesus gets the job done. Once when Jesus was discussing the cost of discipleship, you remember he said that you shouldn't start something you can't finish. A contractor who pours the foundation of a building and then runs out of money soon finds himself the laughingstock of the community. Well, Jesus could talk about taking on huge jobs because his was the immense task of bringing forth justice to truth, or in other words, bringing justice to the earth. And not just any sort of justice, God's justice. And what was God's plan of justice? It was this. Although you were guilty of many sins, and although you had broken every commandment that God gave, time without number, you might still go free if a high enough ransom were paid for your sins. Jesus took on that job, the job of redeeming you from your sins, and he got results. He achieved his goal. It wasn't easy. It meant tremendous sufferings. There were trials and tribulations along his road, the like of which we'll never face. He could easily have become discouraged and given up, but he didn't. His love for you drove him on. He stuck to it and in the end won the victory. When Jesus said these words from the cross, "It is finished," it meant that his work was accomplished, that sin and the power of sin was destroyed, that the price was paid for every people of every nation, every coastland, and every island on earth. As Paul says, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. At that moment, when Jesus died on the cross and finished his work, God declared you righteous and holy in his sight. There's nothing for you to be afraid of anymore. Christ has made you a child of God and an heir of everlasting life. Offhand, I'd say that Jesus' work had pretty good results. Hard to imagine, really, anyone with a mission that was better fulfilled than that. Concluding, let me ask you a question. Let me ask you this question. Are you happy with your job? The job you have right now? Chances are, if you're an average person, there are things about your job that you like and some things about your job that you don't like. It's very rare to find a person who is perfectly suited to his job. I know of only one example. Jesus Christ is the perfect man for the job. During this Epiphany season, let's offer our humble and hearty thanks to our gracious God. For when it came to the monumental task of picking a redeemer for a world of sinners like us, God picked just the right one. Jesus Christ, the right man for the job. Amen. Please rise.